questions and answers. Question number one, I'm having trouble reconciling 1 John 1:9, quote, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, with your most recent blog, The Strangeness of God, where you seem to indicate that God's forgiveness is universal and inherent to his being and not conditioned on our confessing of sin. I feel like I'm considering this through the divine law lens, but I just cannot get conformity. Thank you. So, I searched forgiveness, and I got 6 pages of references. I didn't get 6 blogs. I got 6 pages of blogs. Probably 40 to 50 blogs, just including forgiveness. So I would encourage you to exercise your will and exercise your mind and dig into that. However, I want to go back to the text you quoted, because I do want to give a too long didn't read answer. In the text you quoted above, God has 2 jobs. What are they? Forgiveness for sin, cleanse us from unrighteousness. So, forgiveness is the first task, and forgiveness is inherent to God's character of love. Again, Scripture defines this nicely what love is in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. This is again, a definition of what love is. God is forgiving, period. Now, this is very difficult for us to process, myself included. We've been raised from birth under an imposed law existence. We believe that the murderer and the child molester must be brought to justice with a fair trial and judged either by a magistrate or a jury of peers, and the appropriate punishment or sentence given and handed out, so the civilization will not crumble. And to be fair, imposed law is necessary only for those who cannot self-govern.
Then it means it's necessary for all of us, because we all fail in self-government.
Sometimes, yes.
Except that the fruit of the Spirit is self-control.
Eventual, that's right. So, and again, in the closing of Earth's history, 3 groups are being divided into 2 groups. Right now, we have on Earth people who are so settled into the truth about God's character, his government, his methods, his principles, that they cannot be moved. They cannot be shaken. I would submit that those people are self-governed. On the other hand, we have people that are so settled into the lie that Satan has told, that no amount of truth, no amount of wooing of the Holy Spirit, nothing will reach them. They are settled into the lie. And there's a big group in the middle. The middle group is being divided into one of those two. The sheep and the goats, saved and lost.
By their own choices.
By their choices. So, with the withdrawal of the Holy Spirit, and we're watching this in real time, folks, civilization is more chaotic than it was when I was a teenager. And I don't just think that the news cycle has made it more made me more aware of it. It is literally more chaotic. And more people are crying out for law and order in order to feel safe. Understand, I use the word feel on purpose. They are not safer. We're not safer with law and order. We feel safer. The criminal doesn't care about law and order, by definition. But with a design law mindset, we understand that the murderer and the child molester are damaging their own character far and above what damage they've done to others. Which brings us to the second task, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will forgive us from sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This can only be accomplished with our cooperation. We have to exercise our will in cooperation and harmony with God and his government to participate in the process of cleansing. And without our permission and cooperation, he cannot change our character to be like his. He has the power to do it, But that would violate the law of liberty. He would create a robot. We can't experience the free forgiveness of God without participating in the change of character. Eve?
And that's why it starts with the if you confess, because you also can't be healed if you don't acknowledge the truth.
That's right. If you're sick and you claim, you assume you're healthy, not going to go to a physician. So yes, confession of sin is an admission that I'm corrupt. I need your help. Can't do this myself. All right, question number two. In one of the Design for More podcasts, there was a discussion on what the eternal gospel was. Your answer was countering the lie about God. To me, this implies that Satan presented the lie in eternity past. It's my understanding that Satan was initially perfect in his creation. I think the gospel of Jesus, as a remedy for sinning and countering the lie about God, are important. They are both eternal from now, but neither were eternal past. What important semantic am I missing? Whoever asked this question, go to my notes. I included two links in there about the eternal gospel, and delve into it for yourself. However, couple of things. Satan could not have presented the lie in eternity past because he had a beginning. Truth about God was true in eternity past. But Satan was a created being. He had a beginning. When he opened his eyes, he saw the Trinity looking down at him. That was it. And he was created, Scripture says, he was created, he was perfect in his ways until iniquity was found in him. So he originated sin and iniquity. God didn't originate it. Let's be clear on that. Satan had a beginning, but what he lied about was pre-existed him. He lied about God's government. He lied about God's character. He lied about God's law. And he was so convincing, he convinced a third of the angels. So what is true about God's character and law were true in eternity past. They're true today in 2024, and they will be true forever in the future. See the above links for detail. Number three, I personally love the plant-based diet, and I believe what Barbara O'Neill is teaching about diet because she takes it back to the scriptures. And many will say that diet was established in the Garden of Eden, and we will be vegetarian in heaven. But what do you think about the carnivore diet becoming so big and popular all of a sudden? Have you heard of the China study? I have seen slaughterhouse videos. They're terribly sad, and it would be so hard to believe that's what God wants. Again, whoever asked this question, I included a link, and the link came to my email this morning, so it was kind of serendipitous. It's from the Peter McCullough Substack. He interviews a vegan cardiologist. Guy's been vegan for 40-some years. To the questioner, I think you're on point. I think science isn't coming that an intelligent plant-based diet is healthier than a meat-based one. But it's important to remember that a plant-based diet doesn't necessarily mean healthy one. I would submit that pork chops are healthier than a diet based on tequila, Fritos, and Oreos. Those are all vegan. Tequila, Fritos, and Oreos are vegan. I can't argue that they would be healthy. My general rule of thumb is if God made it, it's probably healthier than man made. If man made it, we look at food that comes in a box versus food that grew in the ground. I'm going to pick the food that grew in the ground. Vegetarianism and veganism, however, is not a salvation issue. Amen. Jesus of Nazareth was not a vegetarian. He ate the Passover meal, which included lamb, and Scripture itself twice says that he ate fish, broiled fish. I think one in Luke and one in Acts. So your question about why has the carnivore diet suddenly popular, I actually don't think it's suddenly. I think carnivore diet has been popular since the flood. There's a Satan reuses the same deceptions of generation after generation. This idea that eating a meat-based diet is more healthy is not new. How many of you have seen the movie What the Health? It's a food documentary. I encourage that one. It's a very well done food documentary. What the Health? Search that. Some streaming platform. Find it. Number four. God has a plan. And knowing this, when we pray for people, ourselves, can we change outcomes? Well, whoever asked this question, look at the notes. I included a link, a blog, how to get prayers answered. First of all, I think we can change outcomes. However, that's not the primary reason we should pray. None of us have the ability to read hearts and minds. God does. We should pray for God's will to be done and for him to use us in and as appropriate in any situation and leave the outcomes in his capable hands. That's the short answer to that question. All right, last one. Is Jesus' death a human sacrifice required by God the Father, or a personal suicide by Jesus, or a cold-blooded murder by demonized church leadership? I personally understand Jesus' method of death, his dying, were not for the sake of God or his law of love, but was to gain a resurrection for the sake of all humanity who are doomed to everlasting death from birth. How do you see Jesus as the Lamb of God? Whoever asked this question, look at the notes. I included some blog links. But to be clear, Jesus' death was not a human sacrifice required by the Father, although some of the Romans watching the procedure may have considered it a human sacrifice to one of their pagan deities. In their mind construct, they may have seen, three people are being sacrificed to Jupiter. Praise Jupiter. Okay, I don't think that. His death was not a suicide, as I understand suicide. Voluntarily giving up one's life is different than actively taking one's own life. A soldier volunteers for a, quote, suicide mission. He's volunteering. When a grenade comes in the tent and a soldier launches himself and covers that grenade so it explodes and kills him only, not his buddies, he does so out of love. So there are some aspects of Jesus' death that appear like cold-blooded murder, but it minimizes the importance of his death. It wasn't just murder. Certainly, we're told Satan was a murderer from the beginning, a liar and murderer from the beginning, and he got his children to participate in the plan to murder Jesus, but Jesus' death was way beyond simple murder. His death is unique in all of history. His death destroyed death itself and brought life and immortality to light. He's the Lamb of God in that he revealed God's character, in that God himself, the Father, voluntarily laid his life down. God was hung on a cross on Calvary that day. And he voluntarily did it. He did not use any of his divine power to stop his creatures from killing him, thereby revealing that he alone is safe with that kind of power. All right? Questions are done.